But God bless you all, and it's been an awesome week. I know that last week I shared a lot on, you know, the two commandments, which is to love God and to love your neighbour, to stay connected to God, to let that new man thrive. And I thought I'd take you to Romans 10, 9 and 10, because for me that's where it all began. The new man started, or the new woman started, in Romans 10, 9 and 10. So, and I know everybody knows this verse, but it's always good to go back and refresh. So Romans chapter 10, and I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that was the turning point for me. Actually, you know, speaking it into being, you know, shouting out loud that I really did believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And at that point, I received that gift. That gift of Holy Spirit in me. And then my life changed. And it didn't change suddenly. It took a while for me to really see what God's heart was and what God wanted for my life. I had a very good upbringing. My family were very close. We were very family orientated. The only person that really ever shared little bits about God was my nan. So we weren't a godly family, but the morals were there, you know, about that you were family orientated, you work hard, you save, you know, we had holidays, we had Christmases, and from the world's point of view, it was a good life. But although it was a good life, there were still things missing. And I had many, many questions about life, really, I guess. And it wasn't until I met Lawrence and that most of those questions got answered. Some of them not what we still believe today, because he was he went to a Pentecostal church. But that together we researched the Word, we researched what God wanted for our lives and how we could better our lives. You know, we didn't want to be a part of this world and what the world had to offer. We wanted to be different. And the only way we could see to do that was to go through what God wanted for our lives. So, if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it was all basically learning about what this new man, this Christ in us, how it set us apart from what the world had to offer. And it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, it says there, all things are. If we read down into the next one, it says, and all things are of God. And this is the same word, and it basically is that it's the same word, and it's the manner of. So where it says all things, you can change that and it is the manner of. So, in verse 17, it's the therefore, if any man, or therefore, the manner of Christ, he is new creation. So, a manner. People have mannerisms within the world today. Some people think, well, I can still, and their manner is, it doesn't bother them. They have no sort of repercussions, or they have no guilt about what they're doing. they're no decorum, they just feel that they go out and do it, that the world owes them something. Well, actually, God owes you something. And when you get born again, he then gives you what you need. That's what he owes you. He wants you to have the best of everything. Right? Wherever you go, he wants you to have the best of everything. So, if we jump back up to verse 16 a minute, it says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. So, we can read about him when he was a fleshly man on the earth, and when he was with his disciples and the things that he'd done, he was flesh. But he never sinned, but he was still flesh. His communication was with God, and God was with him, God guided him, he always turned to God in every situation, and he was obedient to God to follow out the directives. He didn't want to be a part of the world, even though he was flesh. Well, today, we are flesh. So we still don't have to be a part of this world, because we have that spirit, that new man within us, that we can walk just like Christ did, with that God in Christ in us, and we can walk in that newness of life with that spirit dwelling in us, and God wanting the very best for us, wanting to give us the desires of our hearts, wanting us to shine as lights in this crooked and perverse world. And the only way we do that is by staying tapped into him. And you know, it really blessed me when Pedro said tonight, you know, how he'd had a real tough week at work. He came home very tired one night, and he said, God, what can I do? And he sat there and he spoke in tongues. He wrote a little list of people, and then he spoke in tongues for about 15 minutes for each person. And that really blew me away, because that's a form of giving. That he took the time to sit down and to pray for individuals. And we never know what individuals are going through. But when we sit down and we speak in tongues, it's perfect prayer. You know, we may not know the situation, or we may not know the exact circumstances, but when we speak in tongues for a person, that is perfect prayer, and God really gets, you get energized, but God also gets energized to go to work on your behalf. So, we are no man after the flesh anymore. We have that spirit that dwells within us, which can bring us into such a great state of mind when we stay tapped into God. Romans chapter 6. So, back of the book. Romans chapter 6. And we're going to go to verse 6. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That, here's that word again, henceforth we should not serve sin. So again, we don't want to stay entangled with this world, or entangled with our senses. As Lawrence was just sharing, you know, he really wants to do what God's putting in his heart to do. He doesn't want to walk by his senses. He wants to be really tuned in with God, walking by that spirit, that new creation that's in him can really come alive. And, you know, there's a big part to that. And I shared it last week. First and foremost is to love God and to love your neighbour. That is where that new man begins. Having a relationship with God, and the more that you go to God, the more your relationship grows. It's like, I didn't know Lawrence as well 29 years ago as I know him now, 29 years on. And it's the same with God. You know, we learn to put our trust in him, and as we start to pray and we see him come to pass in our life, when we see situations get handled, when we see healings taking place, we can then really start to rely on God in every situation. Perhaps when I first got in the Word, you know, I might pray and I see a couple of prayers get answered, but then I still tend to lean back to my senses. But the more we would mature within that spirit, the more we can rely on God rather than our senses, rather than that flesh. So here it says that we're to henceforth, we should not serve the sin, but rather that we let that spirit dwell within us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And this, I absolutely love this verse of scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, that word change is transformed, and that word transformed is metamorphosis. And if any of you know, you get your caterpillar and it sort of like cocoons itself, and it transforms when it's ready, the cocoon opens and out comes a butterfly. And it's the same with us. When we were body and soul, we were like that caterpillar. And when we got born again, we became body, soul and spirit. And that metamorphosis took place. So that you then become that new creation of body, soul and spirit. And then you rely more on God than you do on the world. Now some people, they tend to lean back to their senses. And then when something goes wrong, they cry out to God. But we have to get into a place where we have such a strong relationship with our Heavenly Father that we never ever turn back to our flesh or to our senses. Romans 13:14. And I want you to hold your finger. I'm going to read it. Romans 13:14. But I want you to hold your finger here because it says, in verse 14, but put ye on, now I'm not going to read anymore, don't read ahead. So Romans 13:14, it says, but put ye on. Now, if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 24, it says, and that ye put on. Now, they're both exactly the same. And it's like in the morning when you get up. What's one of the first things you do? You get dressed. You put on your clothes. This is the easiest way for me to explain it. Now, let's go back to Romans, and in verse 14. But you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, if you're not putting on Christ, then you're not making the provisions to stay away from the flesh. But if you're putting on Christ, then you're going to be putting on that spirit. You're going to be in tune with God, and you're going to be looking to him, and you're not going to fulfill the lust thereof. Flip back over to Ephesians and 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So when we get up in the morning, this is one of the first things we should do. We should make sure that we put on that spirit. I know we got the spirit within, but we need to tap into it every day. It's not something that you're given and you don't need to use. You need to tap into it. So like when you're thinking of putting on your clothes in the morning, think of putting on that new man, speaking in tongues, because that's perfect prayer. Get that spirit energized. And then you really see that your lights will start to dispel the darkness of this world, and that God in Christ in you is going to make a difference, that you are going to be more powerful, that you are going to be more energized, that you'll have more energy, that you'll be vibrant, you'll be hot to trot, and people will start to see a difference. So, we're being transformed from a fleshly person to a spiritual person, like metamorphosis, like the caterpillar with the butterfly.
and that we are putting on that spirit every day. We're going to get up and we're going to, first thing we're going to do is speak in tongues, and then we can get dressed, then we can put on our clothes, right? The provision, don't say, right, so we don't have to supply the flesh with anything. The flesh doesn't need it. If the flesh is weakening, then we can go to God. God, this part of my arm is hurting, can you replenish it, God? Make that spirit go to that area and really give me energy and vitality and energize that pain. Or, God, I command this pain to be gone right now. Whichever way you want to do it. Either way, God wants your needs met. So if you have pains, you have aches, if you're tired, perhaps you didn't have a very good night's sleep, you know, soon as you start speaking in tongues, your spirit gets energized. When that spirit gets energized, then your body gets energized, and that flesh will fall in line, because it has to. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 again. I don't know if I've already gone there, but we're going back there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and in verse 16 it says, "For which cause we faint not." Now, this is where people usually go wrong. That they do it for a day or two, and then maybe they get up late one morning and, you know, everything goes a bit disarray, and it's not until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and we start to feel a bit tired, and you think, God, why do I feel tired? Oh, gosh, I never even spoke in tongues today. You know, so it says here, "For which cause we faint not." So we've got to stay in there. It's like an athlete. An athlete is faithful, is committed to being a great athlete. You know, they want to win their medals. They want to make a name for themselves. And it's the same with us. When we have that Christ in us, we can't afford to get slack. We can't afford to get lazy. We can't afford to be one of those sort of like mediocre Christians that only call on God when we need something. You know, we want to be hot to trot. We want to be one of those that have a relationship with God, that we go to God before we go to, no disrespect, but to Lawrence or to our pastor or to anyone. We want to go to God first. So, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." So I hear people say, and I don't want to point this at Jason right now, but Jason did say earlier, you know, as we get older, we can't do as much. Well, actually, we can, because the Word of God says we can. I saw, going back about 4 months ago, an 85-year-old woman doing the, she was like a ballroom Latin dancer. And she was doing things that far superseded my mind that I think I could do at that age, I'll tell you. But it was a great inspiration, because she was a godly person, and she did not say that there was an age in her flesh, because there was no age in her spirit. And it blew me away, because see, we tend to condition our minds to what the world says.
Yeah.
An old lady said to me today, you know, "I've got these aches and these pains. We don't grow old gracefully, do we?" She was basically inviting this sort of worldly flesh, because she was in her 90s, to be given up on her, because that's what she was confessing. But the Word of God says here that, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man may perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." So yes, you may feel that your flesh is getting weaker as you get older, but what is greater, the spirit or the flesh?
The spirit.
The spirit. And it says here, "Yet the inward man is renewed day by day." So if that inward man's being renewed by day, so is the flesh, because it has to follow suit. There is no age in the spirit, So why concern yourself with what the flesh is doing? Because God will give you everything you need. You just have to trust him and push through. It says, if we faint not. So many people give up before they even pass the finishing line. You know, we have to hold on in there. We keep confessing what we want, not what the world says we have. So every day the inward man is renewed. Every day when we get up, we speak in tongues, just like every day we get up and get dressed. But we have to start looking at this spiritually. For us to have that newness of life, having that new man, that new creation that God has given us, we have to start using it really to the utmost, that we are seeking him on a 24/7 basis. First thing you do, get up, speak in tongues, then get dressed. But remembering that that spirit can't sin, that spirit is perfect. And when you're walking in alignment and harmony, spirit to spirit, then the flesh is going to drop off. That old man's going to drop off. And you will be renewed day by day. Colossians chapter 3 says, and I know I read all this last week, but I'm going to start here in verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Now, long-suffering, sometimes we do have to suffer. And sometimes it is for a little while. But that long-suffering only brings you into a greater place. Your faith will be stronger. You know, God wouldn't say these things if we... God puts us in the place where we need to be. Sometimes I feel that I'm long-suffering. I live with Lawrence, so I am long-suffering. You know, but I may go to a person that has dementia and they say the same thing over and over and over and over for the 3 or 4 minutes that I'm there. It's long-suffering, you know, because it endures us. It gives us patience. It helps us to learn what that spirit's doing within. That communication that we have with God, it makes us humble, it makes us meek. But then it goes on to say, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all those things above, put on charity. And we know that charity is the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. And like Cindy was sharing tonight, you know, she always finds something to be thankful for. And again, I know I keep saying it, but it's a great place to be when you have something to be thankful for. You know, I met a lady yesterday that she's 52 and she has MS. And from her waist up, she's perfect. But from her waist down, there's just nothing. And her sister was there and they were talking about her going in a home, and she was getting so upset because for years she's had all her faculties. She's been able to walk, been able to tend to herself, and she sleeps in the chair now. And her sister said to her, why are you sleeping? Why don't you get yourself into bed? Well, I can't. Oh, well, then you need to get someone in. And And they're basically like telling her what she has to do. Yeah. And she's been independent for so many years that she's finding it very hard to come to terms with. Now, I knew that wasn't a great time and place for me to share the word with her, because she had her sister and her sister's husband was there and her son was there. But this woman was getting very agitated and very upset. So as soon as I left, I just started to speak in tongues, and I just, you know, the compassion that we have for people when you see people in situations like that. And it made me very, very thankful that I do have my legs. Whether I ache at times or whether, you know, my back hurts at times, because obviously from the operations and stuff, I get aches and pains. But I still have the use of my legs. So I just was speaking in tongues and I was thanking God and just asking him for an opportunity to be able to share the word with this woman. And I know the door will open on that. But again, having that compassion for someone. You know, somebody that's in their flesh won't have compassion. They'll be, it's all me, 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 I. But when we're in that spirit, just like Jesus Christ had compassion for people, you know, because he loved God and he loved his neighbour. Same as us. We love God, and when we love our neighbour, we'll have a compassion. You know, and sometimes this new man needs to be perfected on a daily basis. You know, sometimes you might not feel like doing it, but it doesn't come down to feelings. That every day when we speak in tongues, we're perfecting that new man, and we're learning to walk like Christ walked on this earth. Yes, he was a flesh, but he was tapped in, he was tuned into God, and God led him and guided him. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and in verse 4 it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." You know, it's down to our faith what kind of day we're going to have. Are we going to walk by that spirit, or are we going to lean towards our senses and have a rubbish day? When we're tapped in with God, we're going to be more faith-orientated and we're going to have a better day. If our faith isn't quite up there and we get a little bit sidetracked by the world and our senses, then we're going to have a pretty rough day. But we can always have a day where we can be thankful. There is always something to be thankful for. When we overcometh, that means we prevail. And if we prevail, prevail means that you have to hold on in there sometimes. Sometimes it just doesn't happen automatically. So again, like we read just now, we faint not, we prevail not. If we're going to hinder ourselves by our senses, then we will prevail not. If we are walking by that spirit, then we will prevail. Who is he that overcometh the world? Are you prevailing over the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So, going back to verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh. See, both words. Prevail over the world. This is the victory that prevails the world, even our faith. So, when your faith is strong, you'll prevail. You'll overcome. You'll overcome the world, you'll overcome your senses, and you'll be walking by that spirit. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 11. And it says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have to walk like Jesus Christ walked, and the only way we can do that is when we are tapped in, when we are tapped into that spirit that dwells within us. We tap into that, and then we're in alignment and harmony with God, and God will lead us and guide us. You will become strengthened. You will have the ability. And it says that the power, that's kratos, that's power with an impact. We don't want to be a wishy-washy Christian. We want to walk in all power. And that power comes directly from God. And it's power with an impact. If we can't make an impact, then we may as well just give up. Continue to yes, you're going to be born again. Yes, you got the Spirit, but you may as well just be one of these downtrodden Christians and walk in the world. But if we really want to walk and be that new creation in Christ, then we have to start renewing daily that Spirit, energizing it, letting it rule us rather than the flesh rule us. We look to God, we let God lead us and guide us. You know, when we got born again, we got that Spirit, we got the nine manifestations. You can speak in tongues, you can speak in tongues with interpretation, you can prophesy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles and healings. We don't just want to speak in tongues. We want that Spirit to energize the other eight as well. You know, like God gave us the gift ministries. We need to start operating that. That's what that new man is. That new man is bringing those spirits into fruition. The manifestation of the spirits into fruition, right? So we want to get out there and we want God to give us word of knowledge. We want God to give us word of wisdom. We want to get out there giving gifts of healings. We want God to be able to, we want to be able to discern spirits. We want to be able to speak in tongues and interpret. We want to bring forth word of prophecy. We can do all nine, all the time. Not just the speaking in tongues, but getting out there in your community, letting them see that there's a difference. Psalms 51. Psalms 51 and in verse 10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Renew that spirit on a daily basis so that you can get out there. You know, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That glory shines when you operate the manifestations, when you tap into the one true God, when you let him lead you and guide you, then that new man becomes that new creation that you are set apart from this world, and then you start to shine as a light, and you'll really make a difference to those around you. When we pray, we'll have prayer with an impact. You know, we'll start to see signs, miracles and wonders. And that's what it's all about, is that we can, at that God-given moment, have the right words to speak to the right person. Because it's God that energizes that spirit, and it's God that knows what that person needs. And if we're tuned into him, then he can tune in through us, and we can actually bring the deliverance that those people need. So this year is the newness of life, and that life starts in Christ Jesus. So that's my sharing tonight.
Amen. That was wonderful. And, you know, transformation.
It is a transformation.
It's a transformation.
It's a metamorphosis.
That's it. We're being transformed. So, you know, the words that you're receiving, as you receive it with meekness and retain it and are faithful to practice those things, then you will be transformed. As you do what God puts in your heart to do, you will start to transform. Like Joseph, he was, you know, he said that God was with him. And Potiphar knew that God was with him when he was in the jail. The jailer knew that God was with him. Mm-hmm. So when we're walking by that Spirit of God, doing those things that are pleasing in his sight, people will know that God is with us. So we do need to orientate and adjust our minds to be led by God, that our minds are lined up with the Spirit of God, and that God gives those words which build faith in us. And he is working in you all the time. He really is. We just need to listen. And the enemy's trying to shout louder than truth, but he can't if our minds are focused on God and fixed and stayed upon him. And just being willing to lay aside the way that we do things. Like that, Kim was saying about that lady with MS.
Yeah.
She was independent for years.
Yeah.
And so she was used to doing things her way. Now she's being told a different way. But when it's like us as believers, we've been used to doing things our way for years. Now we've got to become dependent and allow God to show us, allow God to energize us. Then we can walk in the miraculous with signs, miracles, wonders following us because we believe God. So anyway.
That was really great, Sharon Kim. Thank you ever so much. And I think what we should do now is, was someone on the